Hello, and welcome to NARC, Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Collaborators, home of NARC Troopers. If you are inspired, interested, supported, or somehow feel good about what you're getting ready to hear, then you can check out narctroopers.com, where you're going to find a library of healing resources following narcissistic abuse. There's podcasts, YouTube videos, articles, in the hundreds, almost approaching about 300 of them each, and growing daily, weekly. So check it out. Today's episode is called Plausible Deniability, the Narcissist Cherry on Top of a Tasty Shiite Sunday. I don't want to say that word. It's naughty, but you know what I mean, right? This is rated PG-13 because, you know, I might just say it next time. They blame, shift, rewrite history, catch amnesia, and then deny it all. You know, that's just their modus operandi. So how is it possible for cluster B disordered, malignant, pathological people to get away with their crimes against humanity over and over, and yet no one ever calls them out on it? They never seem to pay the price for the harm that they cause. They receive no justice or even any consequence for the damage that they do. Sometimes they even get away with murder. I'm sure we can all think of a few examples of that. So why do people perceive them as charming, seductive, powerful, and trustworthy when they are none of those things behind the mask? Think of a shriveled and deformed Darth Vader behind the mask, or, you know, maybe even a pudgy little impotent doofus like the Wizard of Oz when he's finally revealed behind the curtain when they get to the city. You know, they really had us for a hot minute, didn't they? We all got played by these perverse charlatans because they're really, really good at pretending to be something. So since when does being polite and courteous automatically make you a good guy? Everyone reported that Ted Bundy, one of the world's most infamous serial killers in history, was the most kind and helpful person, as well as very well-educated and well-mannered and well-dressed, and he was dressed to kill. No pun intended. Anyway, appearances are deceiving, and some of the scariest and most threatening people turn out to be the sweetest people on earth, while some of the most likable, charismatic, good-looking, and adorable people turn out to be monsters. So come on, people, we have to remember the warning that we were taught about, you know, like not judging the whole, how does the saying go about the book and the cover and the whole judging thing? You know, I guess we maybe missed that day when that lesson was presented, but, you know, I do think that that is a thing. You cannot judge a book by the cover. Appearances are deceiving. That is a common thematic trope through history in the arts and in literature and everything. Looks can be deceiving. Excuse me. All cluster B personality types can weaponize their charm through seductive strategies that get them what they want. The narcissist needs fuel and supply to prop up their false persona. The person with ASPD, which is antisocial personality disorder, and the psychopath are more goal-oriented, and they use these tactics to get what they want. Borderlines use seduction and manipulation to install a person as their locus of control and emotional regulator. That's what they're looking for, is someone to take that responsibility from them and do it for them. It's a kind of learned helplessness. So cluster B They're all grouped together because they have some overlapping characteristics, that they all share. For example, clinical observations have suggested possible subtypes of psychopathy, like narcissistic, borderline, sadistic, and antisocial, that they could be four possible subtypes of psychopathy. Apparently, the disorder manifests with different flavors to make it more diverse, and it's frequently coupled with comorbid features and conditions. So it's not all that simple, cut or dried. You can't just categorize it, compartmentalize it, slap a label on it, and say, this is what this is, clear, plain, and simple, because it's often mixed up, stirred up, with other things. Focusing on the person with NPD, let's think about that because that's kind of what we're here for, to talk about the narcissist. Many are actually good looking and in good shape, and they have perfectly decent looking lives from the outside in. They have managed to leverage their success, because those qualities help you get far in the world. We live in a world, in a society that is disordered. It is increasingly narcissistic and psychopathic. It absolutely is. And it's growing in numbers, and that's why this is so important to understand this stuff. It's hard to imagine that people like this really exist. But you need to know that they do. They do exist. Success matters to these people, or at least they want to appear to be successful. And so they will broadcast and signal how accomplished they are and special they are and all of that, while the majority of people seem to accept it as the truth. How can that be that the masses are so easily deceived by these people? We're not talking about just one person, like a parent who is a narcissist, or a spouse, or a boyfriend or girlfriend that was a narcissist. We're talking about a cultural phenomena here. There's just so many. And it seems like people don't even notice that there's something wrong with these people. And it goes beyond that they're neurodivergent. They are dangerous. They're toxic. They're empty inside. They do reprehensible things. Atrocities. They have no remorse. They have no morals. And they have no empathy for your suffering. That is a triumvirate of hell. I don't think that's how I wanted to say that, but that's what comes to mind because they are clearly, operating from a different rule book with every from than from everybody else. We don't do it that way. We have empathy. We have remorse and guilt when we do bad things. We feel shame. We feel sorry and all of that. And we have morals and ethics and values that tell us this is right, this is wrong. Don't do this, do this instead. That this is different. They are a different beast, almost like an alien or something. It's just very extreme. And you need to start looking for that. You need to start looking for it because it's all around us. And about the deception, about the fact that so many people just believe them and go along with it, I'm not going to judge them that harshly because I did. I believed my narcissistic husband. I believed that, what he wanted me to believe. And so I was a sucker. I got played, absolutely. And willingly, I just, lined up and went right up there to the front of the line and said, take me, I'll do it. And, and so I did. I married him and spent 15 years trying to hollow myself out enough to merge with him in some kind of hive mind craziness. And of course it never works. It can't work because of the way that they are. And in society at large, when people like this take over, bad things are going to happen. War is the first thing that comes to mind, and other horrible, obscene and unconscionable acts. Think about these leaders that make these decisions. Let's take Netanyahu, for example. The guy in Israel, you know, I understand the complexities of a war there that has gone on for centuries, forever, you know, before the Crusades. I get that. And I understand that it's easy to vilify one side or the other, but the truth is both sides are losing because both of them have done horrible things to one another. Because, you know, it's not just one side, it's both sides are participating. Maybe not at the moment, there's one side being victimized, but, you know, rewind, and then there was the other side being victimized, and so on and so forth. If you look at him, he is perfectly fine with murdering hundreds, if not thousands, of people, children, elderly, women, babies, you know, their pets, their, you know, all of it, just wiping it out. And I bet he doesn't lose a minute's sleep. And how is that possible that a person could orchestrate that and stand behind such heartless cruelty to people, to humanity, crimes against humanity? How could you do that? Well, the answer is that you have a cluster B personality disorder, and the world has shaped you into this person who's capable of doing things with no empathy, no compassion, no mercy, no morals, no ethics, no values, no, and they justify it. They always justify it with things that sound like reasonably good reasons, like, sure, you know, we're persecuted, sure, we've been victimized, and sure, we have to eradicate the evil, and yada, 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 yada. Sounds good, but then you look at what's happening, and it's like, oh my gosh, there's starvation, there's famine, there's, it's unbelievable. And that's just one example. We could extend this to probably, you know, a lot of countries all over the world, the people, what they're doing. Look at what's happening in Haiti, you know, not even to mention, you know, the war in Ukraine, but think about the things that are happening in Africa right now. Do we even know? That's never on the news. You should look it up. There's stuff happening. Google Sudan, Google Ethiopia, Google, like, what's happening in Africa, and read about that. The things that are happening in this world can only be explained by saying that these people who are making these decisions have no moral compass. They have no remorse, no guilt, no nothing. You know, they're just like machines, like killing machines or something like that, you know, justice machines or whatever. They're single-minded, myopic, very narrow thing is that they're trying to achieve. Okay, I'm getting off the subject just a little bit, but not really, because I want to just stress this goes beyond, oh, I was raised by a narcissist, or, oh, I married a narcissist. Yes, yes, that's what brought us here. But now that we're here together, I really want you to think about the condition of this world. You know, we're in trouble, and it's because people who have this disorder are in charge of a lot of things. So we need to think about why there's a growing number of these people with this disorder, and what can we do about that to recognize it, to know how to deal with it and how to stop it. So let's go back and talk about the narcissist specifically again, and thank you for your patience with my little cough and all of that stuff. Ever since I had my last round of COVID, followed very shortly with surgery, I've had a cough. Like, I take a breath, and it's like, oh, Here I am coughing again. So thank you for your patience and getting through this with me. This is important stuff. So one of the narcissist's favorite tools that they use to play people is plausible deniability, which is the main topic of what we're talking about today. It is an attempt to pivot away from accountability, and it is a lack of accountability that is one of their hallmark qualities. It is common for children with covert narcissistic parents to go decades without understanding the abusive manipulation that they were part of because it didn't feel like abuse. It was ambient abuse. It was silent abuse. It was the frog in the tepid water. They didn't know how badly that they were being abused, but they were by these covert narcissists. So how does this insidious behavior work? This what is called plausible deniability. It's a very powerful word and toxic concept. When a narcissist is confronted with a lie, they will instantly create plausible deniability so that doubt and cognitive dissonance will follow. They will twist and turn, and they will add half-truths and fiction, and they will confabulate and fabricate, triangulate, hallucinate, and all these eights, and they will distort reality until you feel like that you are experiencing some epic acid trip of your, or something like that. Like, feel like you're going crazy. They confuse their partner who has gathered evidence that couldn't possibly be denied. It's irrefutable, irrefutable evidence. It's like there's no way to dispute it. Yet, the narcissist finds a way. It is denied completely and absolutely without ever visibly denying it, which is just this, it's mind bending. That's right, mind bending. The person that they are manipulating feels very confused, underwater, uncertain, doubtful, frustrated, and just unable to make sense of any of this. By the time the person with NPD has made word salad, that's a thing that they do. By the time they have made word salad out of the truth and they served it up on a platter of cognitive dissonance with a scoop of gaslighting on the side, their target doesn't even remember what the point of all of this was in the first place. It's hard to like keep a logical train of thought, especially in an argument with them. Just forget it. It's not happening. They're not going to answer your questions. You're not going to get a straight answer. It's just nonsense all jumbled together that goes in circles and leaves you feeling more confused than you were to begin with. And so this explains how they get away with most of these insane transgressions without any accountability, because people don't know what to do with this. It's like, okay, I don't even know how to respond to this. I don't know what's going on. So then you add to that some of their pity plays and puppy dog eyes and a sprinkling of revisionist history where they just change everything up, and a dash of selective amnesia. That's a thing because they don't have continuous memory. They don't. Narcissists don't have continuous memory. And then you put in a heaping, helping scoop of charm and seduction. And what do you have? Well, the average Joe or the average Jane doesn't even stand a chance up against this because it's just this huge, like the title says, it's a huge shit Sunday and with a cherry on top. And it's presented to you, and you've never seen anything like it. It's a construction. It's like, this big giant bowl that's 3 feet tall of layer after layer after layer of absolute madness and insanity. So it's like they entered the ring, sure to win, only to stumble away, dazed and confused, beaten and crushed, humiliated and blamed, anxious and triggered and ready to throw in the towel or wave the white flag, you know, or do something, because the narcissist is over there silently smirking and thinking to themselves, what a fool to challenge the great and mighty me, right? Mighty me. I taught them a lesson. I showed them, don't mess with me. Don't mess with me. I'm always going to win. And that's what the narcissist says. And you are that stumbling, bumbling person that has been punched and, you know, so that you're just punch drunk, addled, and you're befuddled, and you're like, you don't even know up from down by the time you come away from that. So you think that's bad? It gets even worse. All of us, we have a role in this too. This is like the worst part, right? It would be nice if we could just say, it's all them. They're the problem. But no, we're participating in it. You know, they can't just do this by themselves. It requires a person engaging with them. And that would be us. We begin to bargain with ourselves and with logic itself. Sometimes we'll let the evidence go in lieu of confronting them and using so much energy, such, you know, because it's frustrating and it's an unwinnable argument. And we probably know that at some point. Our learned helplessness and codependency kick in full gear, and we become compliant and conflict adverse. We don't want to approach them and call them out on anything. It's not worth it. And so the narcissist has this all figured out, right? And how it all works. And so they continue to condition you to accept their words no matter what. They count on your confusion and their own absurdity and outlandish claims and all of that become their free pass to just do pretty much anything that they want to do and get away with it. You see how that works? And so, yeah, it's like a war, and they're not using bombs and bullets. They're using some kind of mental torture or hypnosis or brainwashing or something. And they're winning. They're winning with the strategy. Sometimes the narcissist, their lies are so absurd and ridiculous that it's easier to just ignore them than to try to discuss it or figure it out or whatever. And you just have to accept that they really meant to do something else, or you have to just accept, well, they really are this off the charts. And then there's the fear of upsetting the apple cart and calling them out for something that you will invariably be punished for. That's always how it ends, guys. You're the one who's going to pay for it, not them. They're going to turn it on you. Somehow you're going to walk away feeling like it's your fault. And so at some point you realize that they're never going to come clean. They're never going to admit what they've done. They're never going to apologize. They don't do that. They don't apologize. And that there's no possible way that they're ever going to be accountable or accept any responsibility for anything hurtful that they do to you or your loved ones. And, you know, all these unconscionable betrayals and a gross lack of any moral decency. It is depraved, some of the things that they do, lacking moral decency. We're talking all kinds of crazy messed up stuff. Anything goes. They have no morals, you know. Incest, okay, check the box. That's the first one that comes to mind. Now I can't think of anything else, but like, there's just so many things that are really messed up, that are clearly wrong, morally reprehensible, yet they will do them and not even blink. Nothing, like no response. Like, that's, there's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with what I'm doing. And you're sitting there looking at them thinking, yes, everything is wrong with what you're doing. What are you talking about? And you're never gonna come to common ground on that. The addiction and trauma bonding creates a kind of dependency in you and helplessness in you that gives the narcissist carte blanche. They can do whatever they want to do to whomever they want to do it, whenever they want to do it, and what are you going to do about it, right? That's sort of the position that many of you were in, or maybe you're still in it. I hope not, but yeah. The classic codependent person, that would be us. A lot of times we turn a blind eye and find a way to gloss over their crimes, giving their incredible stories the quality of plausibility so much that you find ways to excuse and justify even the most heinous of their behaviors, all to keep the peace, all to keep the narcissist in your life. You're so afraid of abandonment. You're so afraid they're going to leave. You're so afraid you're going to get in one of those circular, crazy marathon conversations that go absolutely nowhere. They go nowhere. If it is something implausible, hugely unlikely, or most certainly a fabrication, the love junkie, narc lover, that would be those of us that partnered with these people. Yep, I'm calling us love junkies and narc lovers. We're going to find a way to believe it. If only because we don't want to have a problem and for the further detriment of those close enough to feel the fallout as it rains down upon them, we want to avoid that. So anyway, it is a perilous predicament. The narcissist believes his own version of reality, which is counterfactual. And it is a magical thinking kind of thing that's just infused with fantasy, while their partner is floating in the sea of deniability and delusion, unable to stand alone and rejoin the real world. We don't want to come out of that. It's nice in there, all cozy in this shared fantasy with this narcissist. Even when they're abusive and horrible, we just look the other way and we know how to take a punch and get back up. We know how to take a punch and get back up. And that's really not okay. That is not a skill that you want to put on your resume, guys. But we do that just because we're so absolutely terrified, because they have us so, indoctrinated, cultivized, they have entrained us, and there's enmeshment and symbiosis and all this crazy stuff, and it's overwhelming. It's just overwhelming. So if you tell a falsehood long enough to enough people, it takes on a life of its own. It remains a lie, but if most people accept this lie as the truth, then we enter the twilight zone, and there is no longer any integrity of the mind. Everything becomes subjective as we come to believe anything is possible, and if we think it, it will manifest into being, which is a bunch of BS. That is not how that works. That's taking an idea that is grounded in some truth that we attract what we fear, and that if we've got something rotten on the inside, something rotten on the outside is going to come over and sniff it out and be like, okay, this is for me. Yeah, there's some fundamental truth there, but we have bastardized it. We have twisted it until it's such an aberration that is so far removed from the original truth of that statement. And so plausible deniability has been honed since this term came into existence in about 1975. And it has now evolved into an art form. Let me tell you, they do it like nobody else can do it. And it's not just them, the narcissist and psychopath. You know, we all kind of do it, you know, with our mates, our children, our friends, our colleagues, and even with ourselves, this plausible deniability. The problem is that plausible deniability is a phrase that equates to a lack of accountability. And that, Man, that's one of my pet peeves. I don't do that. I know I own my mistakes and I say, wow, I really screwed this up really bad. I'm so sorry. I'm going to try really hard not to do it again. Please forgive me. I own it. You should always own what you do. Don't blame other people. Don't make excuses. Don't play it off like it's nothing. Because people that have narcissism and psychopathy, they can't be accountable for anything. They do not accept responsibility. They flip it immediately and start blaming you while they play the victim. And so don't be like that. That's the horrible way to be. Horrible. You gotta be responsible and take accountability for your decisions and the consequences thereof. So, what do I want to say to you now? Okay, it is a perfect description. This plausible deniability. It's a descriptor for a person who has this cognitive dissonance through the manipulation of reality that makes everyone in their lives begin to accept this delusional version of the truth. I can say that easier by maybe just saying, when you stay with these people, the longer you stay, the sicker you get, because the more you believe crazy stuff that's not true. They get you going where it's kind of like you're participating in the fantasy and you just can't let it go. If you can still see a glimmer of truth in the distance, you better run towards that glimmer of truth. You better chase it. You better hold on to it for dear life, because with the narcissist in their rabbit hole of delusion, it may seem fabulous in that shared fantasy, but it's a mutual psychosis. It doesn't end well, ever, never, ever. It's false. It's empty. It holds nothing but smoke and mirrors and the dusty remnants of the life that you left behind as you descended into the madness of the shared fantasy. People get hurt besides you in these relationships with these people. There is collateral damage. There is ruin all around them. And you cannot, with any kind of conscience, allow that to happen. And if you were so far gone that you did allow it to happen, then you need to get away and spend the rest of your days trying to, make it right with these people that have been harmed by this person. Because it's never just you. They take everybody down. Scorched earth policy. They destroy everything and everyone. And then they just move on. Okay, all right. I've done this job. I'm going to go on to the next. And then poof, like a magic wand, they become someone else. They shapeshift. They're like snakes that shed their skin and slither on to something else. And if you think that my descriptions dehumanize them and don't show enough compassion to them because they're sick, because their whole illness is a trauma response, something horrible happened to them that made them this way. I get that. And it breaks my heart. It kept me with my husband for 15 years. I saw that. I saw the little boy that had been absolutely, had horrific things happen that essentially killed his soul. And I held on to that. That's why I stayed. And in the process, other people got hurt. Other people were harmed indelibly, permanently, forever harmed. And everything was changed. And ultimately, I lost everything, everything that mattered. I lost it because I was just so unwilling to give up on him and to let go of the idea of, oh, you poor thing that suffered this and you can reclaim your humanity. Ha! No, they can't. They don't, and they will not. They won't. And so you need to think about the people around you that are being compromised, relationships that have been fractured, things that have gone down in your life that have been ruined because of this person, and get away. And then stand there and look at this world around you and be aware of the fact that there are so many other people out there right now who also suffer from this disorder and who are making decisions for all of us that are without morals, without ethics, without remorse, without empathy, compassion, mercy, nothing. They don't care about us. They have some other goal that they're chasing, some other thing that they're needing. And that's how they have their power and their control and their supply and fuel. And that's how they are triumphant, climbing up on the backs of others, stomping on them all the way to the top. And we need to recognize that, everyone, not just in our partners and our parents and our immediate family, not just the narcissists that are there and trying to figure out what to do about that. We need to look at it all around us because it's thriving, it's growing, and it is a contagion. It is rampant, and something's got to give. Something's got to give. Okay, that's my talk for today. Again, sorry that my voice is, I don't know what is going on with me, but obviously I have not had the best of health for the last 2 months or so with COVID and then surgery and then the cough. And but I'm working on restoring my health, and I hope to be less whatever this is, croupy. Is that the word? Coughing and crouping. I hope to be less like that in coming weeks. Okay, much love to all of you. Let's hold on to our hearts and our humanity. And be the good people. We want to be on the good team. You don't want to go to the dark side. Just because it looks like they're winning, you don't run over there and stand over there on their side because it looks like they're winning because, they're the dark side. It's evil. It's not okay. It's not okay. That person, look at it this way. That person that you love, that mother, father, husband, wife, whoever it is. They were lost a long time ago. They died a long time ago. They had to end themselves to survive whatever it was. And they're living a false, they have a false persona. That's not real, what you see. It's not real. It's not like a real person. They're almost like an AI robot creation or something, There's very little difference between the two. And yes, you can grieve them and have compassion for them and love them or whatever, but they aren't there. You're really just grieving what they used to be. And 'cause they're not that now. They're false, they're empty, they're filled with dark things. And as I said before, you don't want to go to that side. You don't want to join the darkness just because that's what fills the narcissist on the inside. And I understand the mental health perspective. I also understand the spiritual perspective of the battle between good and evil that is happening all around us. And I understand like all the implications that all of that has. And it's not one or the other. It's all of it. It is a psychological illness. It's a mental illness. And it is a spiritual disease because when they mentally, spiritually, end themselves and hollow themselves out, then dark things are among us and are a factor in this case. So please think about that and consider, even if you're not immediately accepting that, consider that it could be possible and protect yourself and your loved ones. Okay, much love to everybody. I'm gonna go drink some hot tea with some lemon and And I will talk to you soon. Okay, bye.